Luke chapter 23, verse number 32. There were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, "If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself." And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. That is the book of Luke, chapter 23, verses 32 through 46, if correctly read. I think about these verses, and I want to preach on this thought. Let's go to Calvary. When I see Jesus hanging on that cross, I see the love of God on display. I see the grace of God in action. I think first of all about the man. Jesus was crucified on that middle cross between two thieves. And the Bible says in the book of Galatians, "Cursed is every man that hangeth on the tree." Jesus was manifest in the flesh, and there hung our Savior dying for the deeds that I've committed, and the words that I've said, and the thoughts that I have brought to mind. He died for them all. And as I think about that man on the middle cross, I say to you this morning that he, according to the Scriptures and according to his life, is the sinless one. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin." Hebrews 4:15 says, "He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." He says in 1 Peter 1:19, "He was a lamb without blemish and without spot." In 1 Peter 2:22, the Bible says about Jesus that he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. In 1 John 3:5, the Bible says, you know, that he was manifested to take away our sins. Hallelujah. And in him is no sin. When they brought our Savior to Pilate, Pilate, after meeting him and interrogating him, said, "I find in him no fault at all." After Pilate led him away to have him scourged and beaten, and they brought him back to present him to the people, Pilate said, second of all, "I bring him forth to you that you may know that I find no fault in him." After this, the people screamed, "Crucify him, crucify him, the sinless Son of God, crucify him." And Pilate said the third time, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Pilate found no fault. The demons in hell find no fault. I stand this morning and tell you, he is the sinless one hanging on the middle cross. And in him this morning, I find no fault. He is the suffering one. Isaiah 53 and verse 3 says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Oh, how he suffered in agony and pain as he took upon himself my sin and your sin and was separated from the Father. Praise God this morning for my Redeemer, who is the sinless one and who is the suffering one. But I say to you this morning, friend, when I look at that man on the middle cross, I say to you, he is the saving one. As those thieves hung there, one of them said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, verily I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I'm glad that through his death, his burial, and his resurrection, not only is he the sinless one and the suffering one, but I know Jesus today as the saving one. Oh, he saved us from our sins. When he was born, they said, he shall save his people from their sins. And I'm glad to know the truth of God, that he is my Savior. And I pray that he is your Savior today. I say to you this morning, if you would examine the man Jesus Christ, you would find that all these things and more are true about our Savior. When I look at these verses, number 2 this morning, let's go to Calvary and let's examine the motive. What is the reason Jesus came to a cross? John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The reason is that God loved us. Let's go to Calvary and let's remember the love of our Savior and the love of our God. The reason, not only this morning, the motive not only is the reason, but I look at the remedy. I believe there's a motive, and it is the remedy. You and I were sinners. We were on our way to a devil's hell. But Jesus, by shedding his blood, became our remedy. The Bible says that he that sinneth, that the soul's going to die. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And we know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But in Jesus Christ, hanging on that cross, do you see not only the reason, but you see the remedy. Jesus is the remedy for the death sentence that hung over our head. In John 5:24, the Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. Hallelujah. But is passed from death unto life. Hallelujah. Jesus is the remedy. I think about when I see our Savior, I believe he is the ransom. Preacher, what do you mean? Because my sins had separated me from a holy God, there had to be a payment for my sin. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Verse 19 says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He is our ransom this morning. Let's go to Calvary and examine the mockery. As Jesus hung there on that cross,
Men would mock and ridicule the Son of God. The Bible said in verse 35, the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him. They ridiculed our Savior as he's dying there for the sins of the world. They scorned him and they mocked him and they laughed at him in his love for the people. They said he saved others. Let him save himself if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. The Bible says in verse 36 that the soldiers also mocking him. Friend, this morning we know that they cast lots for his garment at the foot of that cross. Friend, they challenged his every being. They challenged his every motive. Reviled, refused, rejected, stripped, scourged, slapped, and spat upon. But the Bible says he came into his own, and his own received him not. But I'm thankful this morning that at the age of about 12 years old, when the Holy Ghost convicted me of my sin, and the man of God told me about the love of God and a Savior who died for me, I made my way from my seat, never knowing such love from any other human being or from any other God that could ever be in existence, and bowed myself before him and told him I was a sinner lost on my way to a devil's hell. And Jesus became not only the reason and the remedy this morning, friend, but he became my ransom that I might be redeemed. And I am thankful no longer do I mock him. I am not ashamed of his blood. I am not ashamed of his life. I am not ashamed of his death. For he gave his life for a sinner like me. And I do not want to mock my Savior. When I think about going to Calvary, fourthly, I think about the misery. Oh, the misery that our Savior had to bear in agony and pain. Friend, can you think about being severely beaten and upon that cross suffering such agony? And friend, he did all that under such misery to be separated from the Father and to be made sin. He that had never known sin to take upon himself my sin and your sin. Can you imagine the misery of Calvary as he was completely stripped and humiliated, as he hung there dying in love to be spat upon? Oh, what horrible misery that our Savior must have experienced. And he let it be so because he loved you and because he loved me. I think fifthly about the miracles that day at Calvary. The Bible says as Jesus hung on the cross, and the verse 44 says it was about the sixth hour, meaning it was about 12 noon. And for 3 straight hours, the sunshine bowed its head and darkness was upon the face of the earth. Every day there is sin committed. Every day there is a death. Every day there is crime. Every day there is violence. Every day there is murder. Every day there is rape. God forbid such things have to happen in the world in which we live. But the sunshine shines all day long nonetheless, does it not? But the day our Savior was made my sin and your sin, the sunshine said, I will bow my head to my Creator. I will not look upon what man has done to my Maker. And he bowed his head. What a miracle that was that day. Friend, the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. It was allowing man to come in, showing what God had done for man. We know there was a great earthquake that day, and we could go on and on about the miracles of Calvary. And when I look at Calvary, not only do I see those things, but I see the Master on that middle cross. Though Jesus is dying, he is in control of this situation. You remember when the disciples were in the storm, Jesus said, "Peace, be still." And the wind stopped. And the waves laid down peaceful. Our Savior was in control. And the winds and the waves and the storms obeyed him. You remember there when he came to the maniac of Gadara. And that man that was raging with a legion of demons inside him. And Jesus cast those demons out. Jesus certainly cleansed this man and saved him. Jesus is in control of all situations. But now on this cross, as they beat him and scourged him and spat upon him and slapped him and nailed him there and leave him hanging as they make sport and spectacle of our Savior, is he still in control? Jesus said, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it back again. No Roman took his life from him. He laid his life down that you and I might be saved, that you and I might have someone that loves our soul, that you and I might have someone that forgives our sin. Oh, he's the master this morning. Friend, is he your master? The master of the sea? Yes. Is he the master of your storm? Yes. Is he the master of the winds in your life? Yes. Is he the master of situation? Oh, yes, he is. Last of all, I'll be through this morning. When I say, let's go to Calvary, not only do I see all those things, but in verse 34, I see the message of Calvary. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It was all about forgiveness. It was all about salvation. Friend, nobody will ever love you like Jesus does this morning.